Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we will be starting a new book, The Second Kings. Now, this study will expound upon all the kings of Israel and all the kings of Judah. And so, as we continue, I would highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, or Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or even comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who are listening out there and taking part for giving me feedback on this particular show. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, your comments and advice that you're giving me, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, as always, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This is, I say, also from the hand of God. It's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. The promise of God is that what you have received from him, if you rejoice in that, it will be to your benefit. Again, God said, through King Solomon this time, again, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel, and marrow to your bones. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The promise is that good health to your soul and to your flesh will be given to you if you are not wise in your own eyes, fear God, and depart from evil. Again, God said to King David this time, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 9. And again, the promise is that if you want to have your ways approved by God, then you must keep his word. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, the question is for the hour, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started again, I want to remind you, as I always do, I think this is so significant to the beginning of the study, that we understand that the Bible is written in code. That's right, my brothers and sisters, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we're on the air tonight, and that is why we're taking part in this Bible study together, so we can study and learn. So let's head for the study. Turn your Bible sources with me. 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And this is what the Bible says. And as I tell you, as I read the text to you, what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. This is where I'm focusing. Our attention should be focused on the instruction. This is the instruction. Beelzebub, the God of Akron. Okay? That's what I want you to realize. And this is what it says. It says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahasuerus fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was very sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Akron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Akron? Now remember, my brothers and sisters, that the first commandment of God that he gave to Israel audibly at the Mount Sinai, he said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, nor bow down before them, or make any graven images. So this is the reason that Elijah went to tell King Ahasuerus what he did. Now let's go to our first compliment in the New Testament. What we're going to do is compare and agree, and we're going to see how Jesus responds to this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 23 through 28. Listen to what Jesus had to say. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except to first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Okay, so this is telling us, my precious brothers and sisters, that we should be responding to God and not to any other God. Now I see we've reached the first commercial break. Let's take that commercial break, and then let's continue with the lesson.
Into a season right now. It ain't time for us to point out everybody else's fault. It's time for us to look in the mirror and say, am I usable? Am I flexible? Am I pliable? Am I moldable? Can God take my life, put me on the potter's wheel, and spin me until he makes me everything that I need to be for this next season in my life? Some of you have been spinning and you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I spinning? Why am I going in circles? But I'll tell you why you're going in circles. It's because God is making you another vessel. It's a new season and he's putting touches on your life that you didn't need in the last season, but you're going to need it in this season. So he just scoops you up, drops you on the wheel, starts bending you, making you uncomfortable, breaking you. You're trying to figure out. You're like, God, I did everything right, I thought. He said, no, it's not that you've done anything wrong. I'm just getting you ready for the next season. You asked me to use you, didn't you? Hallelujah. So God, we have to check ourselves, because once we are refined and once we are ready, God will begin to use us. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways. Let us test them and let us return back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. Let us test them. And if we're out of whack, let's return back to the Lord. Because it's only as we return back to the Lord that God, and we allow him to form us into what we need to be. Somebody saying, what's next for my life? What's next for your life is that you have to examine yourself and say, God, am I usable? God is looking for people who are holy. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness really means, it means that we live a consecrated life, that we aim to live a pure life. Make every effort, Hebrews 12 says. Make every effort to be consecrated. Make every effort to be pure. Make every effort to be sanctified in your heart and in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the primary characteristic that lets us know that he is there is that you ought to want to be holy, that you ought to want to be different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, something in you says, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to hang with everybody I used to hang with. When the Holy Spirit is in there, the evidence that he is in there is that you want to be different. It's that you want to be like God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with instruction number 2. It is taken from 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the instruction to you. As I read the text to you. Ahasuerus, king of Israel, condemned by God. Now, remember what Ahasuerus did. He called on the false god Beelzebub of Ekron. Now he gets condemned because of that. And it's going to be 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Listen to what the text says about this. It says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And that's when they went back to King Ahasuerus. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Akron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these things? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girded with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let me continue with a couple of more. No, that's all of this particular instruction. Now what we're going to do is go to our compliment. And we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to see how Jesus put it today for us to respond to. And this is in Matthew chapter 23, and it's verse 29, and we're going to read through verse 32. And this is what Jesus had to say, and this is the condemnation that was received because they did not believe that Jesus was the true God or the Son of God. This is what he said. He said, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except the first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And so, verse 38 completes the thought. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now, this is in comparison, was complimenting what happened to Ahasuerus, the king, that he was going to die because he did not respond to worshiping God exclusively. And now Jesus is also telling these Pharisees that they too will not survive this condemnation if they consider Jesus as Beelzebub and not the Son of God. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go back to the next instruction. Let's go back to 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 1 again and take another example out of chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verse 9 through verse 12 in chapter 1. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Here's the instruction. Elijah prophesies against the captain and the 50 men. That's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is what the text says. Then the king sent unto him, Elijah, a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of the hill. And he spake unto him, thus, man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he also said, the king sent another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said and said unto him, and Elijah answered and said unto him, O man of God, or he said unto Elijah, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And so that was the result of the prophecy that was given by Elijah. Now, let's go to our compliment. We're going to go to Acts. Turn your Bible sources with me to Acts chapter 19, and we're going to see how this prophecy came to pass because, again, of disobedience or not responding to godliness. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Listen to what the book of Acts has to say about this. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I see that we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with this lesson.
There was a place in biblical times called Gadara. There was a man there who was possessed with a legion of devils. Depending upon which authority you read after, that can be from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So we'll be conservative. We'll take 3,000. This man has got 3,000 devils inside of him. And he is naked. He has cut himself with stones. He walks and lives and sleeps among the dead. And anybody who serves the devil lives among the dead. He cuts himself. But Jesus steps on board the little ship. And he sets his sail toward Gadara. And when he lands in Gadara, the maniac comes running. And here's the thing that is incredible to me. He's got 6,000 devils. But the man, in spite of the habitation or inhabitation of 6,000 devils, his human spirit wanted to worship. And the Bible says the man came and worshiped. 3,000 to 6,000 devils could not stop him from worshiping. The devil cannot stop you from worshiping if you want to worship. He came and he worshiped. He came and he worshiped. And the Bible says in the end of that story that the maniac was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what I want to do is explain the point that I'm making in this prophecy that Elijah made against the captain and his 50, and the compliment where the prophecy was that those who were not a part of Jesus Christ were seized upon by the devil because they were, again, not in God's good graces. And that is what I want you to take from this. And, of course, we read Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, which identifies specifically Sceva and his six sons. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 2 Kings. We're going to look at just one verse this time, verse 18. And I want you to keep in mind as I read the text that this is the instruction, the Acts of Ahasuerus. Now, I constantly use the identification of more information that of these particular kings that we're learning about in the book of Kings, and we'll do the same in the book of Chronicles, that there was material that the writers drew from, and these materials were called the Acts of the particular kings, and they named them by name. And, of course, these materials today we don't have available to us because they were lost to antiquity for whatever reason. We do not have them. But our Bible refers to them because that's where the writer of these particular chapters in these particular books got it from. So the Acts of Ahasuerus is where this is identified in verse 18 of 2 Kings verse 1. And this is what it says. Now the rest of the acts of Ahasuerus, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So it's telling you that the acts were written in this chronicle, and there's more material there. So we don't have access to it, but at least that is where this writer drew this information from. Now let's go to our compliment. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to the book of John, and we're going to look at John chapter 21, and we're going to look at just one verse, John chapter 21, verse 25. And this is the compliment today that gives us basically the same information that we don't have everything that was written about Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written in every one, or they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So it means that there are other sources that these writers, they drew from in order to get the compilation of what is in our Bible. And if everything that was written was put in the Bible, the Bible would never be closed. It would be too much of a book. So this is the key to the comparison about the Acts and of Ahasuerus and all these other kings and the Acts of Jesus. Only what the writers determined was necessary, or they were inspired to write in this journal that we've canonized and compiled as the Bible, is significant. But there is more. That's the point that I want you to know. There is more material, okay? We don't have it all, but we do have enough to get us through to salvation if we practice what's in basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go again to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 7. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, as I read the text to you, Elisha knew God was taking Elijah. Okay, I want you to keep in mind, and we know that Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And so Elisha knew God was taking Elijah. And this is how the text reads, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down together to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, meaning Elisha, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came both to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha again and said unto him, Knowest that the Lord will take away thy master from thee, your head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And again Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on their way to Jericho. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. They were headed to the Jordan. Okay, so you can see that Elisha knew that Elijah was going to be taken up or taken away from him by God. Now let us turn to our New Testament complement. Let's go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 49. And this is where Jesus telling the apostles, as he previously did along the journey that they were from the time he started his preachment to the time that he was crucified on the cross, that he would be taken away from them. And this is how Jesus put it to them after at the Last Supper. This is what he said. And Jesus said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they may understand the scriptures. And Jesus said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. So there is the compliment. Elisha knew that God was going to take Elijah. And the apostles, even though they didn't understand it, were told by Jesus that God was going to take him too from them. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 2 Kings, again, chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. And I want you to keep in mind, as I see that we're in our third break, let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses discipline. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go on to the next instruction. The next instruction is Elijah and Elisha parts the Jordan River. That's interesting. We know of the story that we hear all the time where Moses parted the Red Sea. Well, guess what? Elijah and Elisha, both of these prophets, they parted the Jordan River like Moses parted the Red Sea. Let's read about it in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 to begin with, and then verse 13 and 14 to complete the thought. Listen to what verse 8 says. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. That means I should, when I said in the previous instruction that the 50 men are of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood the two by the Jordan, meaning that Elijah and Elisha were at the Jordan River. Well, verse 8 tells us that Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now 13 and 14 gives us this instance where Elisha did the same. Listen to what verse 13 and 14 says. It says, Elisha took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him when he went up into the fiery chariot, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So that gives us the account of that occurrence. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5 through 8, and we're going to read how Jesus Christ gave the powers that he had to his 12 apostles to do some work for a while. And this is, again, the miracle that occurred that is comparable to what Elisha and Elijah did. Listen to what the 12 apostles were given. This is Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5 through 8, it says, these 12 apostles Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely ye give. And that is what Jesus did as far as the comparison that the miracle was done according to his godliness, as godliness was done for Elijah and Elisha. That is the intent of the instruction, and I hope that that's what you get from it. If you have any questions, you can contact me again. You know, if you're listening in, you can call in, and we can dialogue over the phone. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. The next instruction, turn your Bible sources back with me to 2 Kings chapter 2 again. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 2. We're going to be reading verse 9 through 12. All right, chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Elijah granted his request from Elijah. Okay, now we're following the storyline of the scenario of the relationship between Elijah and Elisha, all right? And this is how the Bible is chronicling it, and this is how I'm using it as instructions. Each chapter I try to get an instruction, at least one instruction out of each chapter. And this is another instruction. Elisha granted his request from Elijah. And this is what 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 12 says. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them into two pieces. My brothers and sisters, listening out there, so Elijah told Elisha, if he saw what was transpiring in his departure, that God would grant him that double portion. And, of course, he did see it. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 20 through 23, and we're going to see a similar request that was made concerning Jesus and how Jesus answered it concerning the sons of Zebedee. Listen to what it says. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her two sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And the boys said, yes, we are able. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So you can see, again, Elijah was told Elisha what he had to do in order to receive it, and Jesus told the sons of Zebedee what they had to do in order to receive it, but it was God who would be doing the transaction. And that's, again, the same with Elijah and Elisha. Okay, let's go back to the 2 Kings. We're going to be looking at the next instruction. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19 through through 22. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 2 of 2 Kings. We're going to be reading 19 through 22. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction. This is the instruction, Elisha's first miracle. So in the Chronicle of Kings and in the storyline, it tells of a number of miracles that all of these prophets performed. And this is identifying the first that Elisha performed. And that's the one that I want you to pay attention to, that this was the first that he performed. And it is taken in verse 19 through 22. And this is what it says. I see we're at the next or the last pause for the night. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
If you only have 24 hours in a day, your success is dependent upon how you use the 24. You got to hear me. People talk about Oprah Winfrey, you know, Ted Turner, Warren Buffett. Listen to me. I don't care how much money you make. You only get 24 hours in a day. And the difference between Oprah and the person that's broke is Oprah uses her 24 hours wisely. That's it. Listen to me. That's it. You get 24. I don't care if you broke, you grew up broke. I don't care if you grew up rich. I don't care if you're in college, you're not in college. You only get 24 hours. And I blew up literally. I went from being a high school dropout to selling 6,000 books in less than 6 months. What happened? My 24 hours. I was like, okay, Eric, you got to get a grip on your 24 hours because you're about to be broke for the rest of your life. And that's all I need you to do for me. I can tell you all about your life if you just write down your 24-hour schedule for me and you let me look at it. I can tell you where you're going to be in 5 years. I can tell you where you're going to be in 10 years. I can tell you where you're going to be in 20 years if you keep that schedule.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to look at Elisha's first miracle. And this is what the Bible says about it in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. It says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, I have healed thee these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake." So that was the first miracle that Elijah performed when he received his double portion of Elijah's, that's Elisha, he received the double portion of Elijah's spirit. And now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Let's go to John chapter 2. We're going to go to John chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 11, John chapter 2. And listen to how Jesus is identified performing his first miracle. This is what John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11 says. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. But Jesus said unto her, Woman, what I have to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he ask of thee, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, concerning 2 or 3 fig skins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse is given. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So, in like manner, the first miracle of Elijah, this is the first miracle of Jesus. And that's what I just wanted to share as a comparison. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, and this will be the last one for the evening. Oh, yes, we're going to go to the next instruction, and we're going to go to back to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. And what I want you to do, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you, I want you to keep in mind that this is the instruction. And the instruction is, Elisha curses the children. And this seems strange, but we'll find out why. And this is what verse 23 and 24 says about it. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. That's after he cured the land of the drought. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and there and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. So that seems to be pretty cruel. But what we have to realize from reading the entire Bible, that, or not the entire Bible, but reading the law specifically, that in the book of Leviticus specifically, or particularly, it tells us that when you curse or that when you disobey the word of God, meaning coming from his prophets, or otherwise, then you are subjected to punishment. And so that's why the curse occurred, because Elisha was a prophet sent from God. And now what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to read verse 18 through 22, and we're going to get the same understanding that Jesus, when he came to a fig tree and it did not produce good fruit, that he cursed it. And that is the comparable part of what happened with Elisha and what happened with Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. When he came, it was not correct that there was no fruit available on the tree. And again, that Elijah or Elisha was the prophet and sent by God, and the law stated that you would be punished by God if you did not obey or respond affirmatively to the prophet. So this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. He said, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye say, shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So that is the comparison of the two. And what is significant here is to realize that when Jesus calls you, you need to respond to the calling. If you do not, my brothers and sisters, respond to his calling, you will be subjected to the consequences. And remember what the David said in the psalm, or it wasn't David, it was, I think, Asaph, said in Psalms 95 that today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, like in the day of provocation in the desert, like in the day of disobedience in the wilderness, because God swore unto them that they would not enter into his rest. So as Paul tells us in his epistle in the 1 Corinthians, that when we hear the word of God, we must respond. Paul put it on this wise. Paul says, today, or he doesn't say today, he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. He says, today is the time accepted, and today is the day of salvation. And he took that from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. So that is critical, and I leave you with that, my brothers and sisters, that if God is calling you, you need to respond. And the thing that is so apropos about the Son of God and his compassion, just like with Samuel, when he was called three times by God, he was given three chances to respond. We are given how many chances? Probably innumerable. But of course, each time you do not respond to God, you have diminished your capacity with the Lord, meaning that the sooner the better is what we should be responding to. Okay, so that concludes the lesson for this evening. And what I'd like to do is, before I conclude and let you go, I would like to say that the host and I thank you and bless you for your participation and for your encouragement. And as we say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said, He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.